brief disclosure and disclaimer information. So a small amount of background. Healthcare personnel can serve as vectors for influenza transmission because they share exposures between the community and the patients at the healthcare facility where they work. It's been well documented that influenza vaccination of healthcare personnel, or HCP, can reduce patient morbidity and lost work for HCP. However, as we know, influenza vaccination among HCP remains suboptimal and has for many years, and it was about 45% in 2007. A little bit of background on some policies of interest. The Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices and the Healthcare Infection Control Practices Advisory Committee recommend annual influenza vaccination for all HCP, and that includes paid and unpaid, anybody who has a potential exposure to infection. And the Joint Commission put out a standard in 2007 that requires, as a condition of accreditation, hospitals have to offer influenza vaccine to their staff, and they have to measure staff influenza vaccination. And finally, the National Quality Forum, which is a voluntary consensus-setting standards organization, has developed harmonized vaccination measures. And one of those measures is a CDC-sponsored measure of HCP influenza vaccination coverage that recently received time-limited endorsement pending further study. So there's obviously a lot of policy interest in this topic. So the objective of our study was to characterize practices related to measuring staff influenza vaccination rates in U.S. hospitals in the 2005-06 influenza season. And I do want to point out, so you can keep in mind, this is prior to the implementation of the Joint Commission standard. So we selected our sample from non-federal, short-stay, general hospitals that were included in the 2004 American Hospital Association annual survey database. That was about 4,600 hospitals. We stratified all of these hospitals by their census region and their size based on the number of beds, less than 100, 100 to 300, or greater than 300. And we drew a stratified random sample of 996 hospitals. To these hospitals, we sent a self-administered electronic survey of the infection control coordinators in July 2006. And the data that we collected for this study from the AHA database, we had the hospital characteristics, which include region and bed size that we used to stratify, includes whether the hospital's public, private, not-for-profit, whether or not it's a teaching hospital, and whether or not it's located in an urban area. And then in our survey, we assessed three topics, influenza vaccine provision, tracking and reporting of vaccination, and measuring vaccination. And the difference between tracking and measuring, tracking would be, for example, counting the number of doses that you give out. Measuring is actually calculating coverage rate. So for influenza vaccine provision, we looked at whether the vaccine was provided at a cost to staff, whether it was provided at the hospital, which staff groups in the hospital it was provided to, whether the hospital has a plan to vaccinate employees annually against influenza, and if so, what activities are included in that plan. Tracking, if they did it, how it was done, whether they collected any staff data from staff who were not vaccinated at the hospital, and whether they developed reports of vaccination. And finally, measuring, we asked if they calculated coverage measurement or measurements, and if so, which employees did they include in those rates? And when we discuss the staff groups, there are five here that I'm just going to run through. Direct employees is staff who are on the hospital payroll, who have patient contact. Credentialed medical staff would be, for example, attending or admitting physicians or other independent practitioners with privileges who are not on payroll. Contract staff would be somebody who's hired through a contracting organization, for example, a floating nurse who's also not part of the hospital payroll. Students or trainees, health professional students doing clinical work, and volunteers. For the analysis, we did weight our data to account for the stratified sampling design and hospital non-response. Our main outcome of interest was whether or not the hospital measures influenza vaccination rates among their staff. We calculated some descriptive statistics and bivariate associations based on that data that I showed you earlier, the data that we collected, and then we performed logistic regression. to assess associations with our outcome of interest. So 555, or 56% of the hospitals responded, and the analysis I'm going to show you is limited to the 544 of those who provided vaccine on site. So you can see the majority of them did. And nearly all of them provided the vaccine to their staff free of charge. Hospitals in the southern and Pacific regions and for-profit hospitals were slightly less likely to respond. So we did, as I said, weight the data, and after the weighting, it was effective because our responding hospitals were similar to the universe of eligible hospitals. Before I get started on this, I just want to remind you, most of the responses were, you allowed multiple responses, so they add up to a lot more than 100%. So don't add them because it will be very confusing. So at the top, you can see nearly all of the hospitals actually had a plan for vaccinating their staff. And most of the hospitals had this plan written into hospital policy. 60% plan mentioned measuring staff coverage, and 65% it mentioned internally reporting that coverage to various groups in the hospital. And usually that was infection control coordinators who received these. Who they provide the vaccine to, all of them provided it to their direct employees, and most provided it to the credentialed contract and volunteers. You can see for students and residents, a much lower number provided influenza vaccine. And then the hospital's policy regarding the strength of recommendation for their staff to be vaccinated against influenza, over half required or strongly encouraged the vaccine, about a quarter recommended, and the rest didn't specify. Nearly all the hospitals tracked vaccination, 92%, and down here among these hospitals that did track, you can see that nearly all of them track one number or one count for their overall staff, and only about half track either by the type of staff or by the department or unit in the hospital where they work. And fewer than 20% of the hospitals collected any kind of information about staff that weren't vaccinated at the hospital, whether that was a VIS, assigned declination form, or a medical form from staff with contraindications. And although the majority of staff tracked, the majority of hospitals tracked vaccination, only 69% measured vaccination coverage among their staff. And those who did, 88%, nearly all of them measured a single rate for the entire hospital. Only 20% measured by different staff types. And down here, 44% included contraindicated persons in their coverage rate, and about half included those who refused vaccination. And unfortunately, we can't tell if that's a good thing or a bad thing, which I will explain why not a little further on in the presentation. And this slide shows which staff groups are included in the coverage measurement. So again, you can see nearly all the hospitals included their direct staff on payroll, as you would expect. But when you look at staff who are not on payroll, inclusion and coverage rates drop significantly, and it's particularly low for students, the same way it was for provision of influenza vaccine. Hospitals that did measure staff influenza vaccination coverage, they were more likely to be for-profit hospitals, more likely to be larger hospitals. Those in the South were somewhat less likely to report that they measured coverage. If the hospital policy recommended or required vaccination, they were more likely to measure coverage than if the policy didn't specify. And if their annual influenza vaccination plan was written into policy, addressed data collection on vaccination, and addressed internal reporting of coverage, any of those factors also meant that the hospital was more likely to measure coverage. So in our logistic regression model that adjusts for census region and size, having the vaccination plan actually written into the hospital policy and having a plan that addressed providing internal reports of coverage to any of the groups that we asked about was associated with likelihood of measuring coverage, and the other variables that we entered in the model were not significant. So what does that tell us? Nearly one-third of the hospitals didn't measure staff coverage at all in the 2005-2006 season, which is problematic in and of itself. And if we look at the hospitals that did measure coverage, there are problems there too. They may not be able to identify susceptible staff because most of them track a single rate rather than tracking coverage among different groups of staff. And many of the hospitals don't track contraindicated or refusing staff. And they also may not know the true coverage rate among their staff because, as I showed you on that graph, many of them don't include various non-employee groups in their coverage, even though those groups are moving through the hospital and having contact with patients. And most of them do not gather data on external vaccination, so they don't know people who were vaccinated outside the hospital. To talk a little bit about the National Quality Forum measure, and I did include the link to the measure below if you're interested. It's derived from the 2006 ACIP HCPAC recommendations, and the numerator of the measure is anybody vaccinated on or off the off-site the hospital. And the NQF decided that contraindicated and refusing staff should be also included but measured separately, so you can distinguish which staff in your hospital are assessed versus the ones actually vaccinated. The denominator includes all healthcare personnel, paid or unpaid. And the utility of the standardized measure is that it allows coverage to be compared across different facilities and provider types. And measuring the contraindicated and refusing staff is valuable because it helps identify educational needs if perhaps people are reporting false contraindications or refusing because they're misinformed about the vaccine. The limitations of our study, our respondents may not be representative of all the eligible hospitals. We did weight the data, as I mentioned, which reduces but doesn't eliminate non-response bias. This was self-reported data, and we weren't able to validate it. The difficult interpretation of the contraindication and refusal question, as I said, we asked if they included those groups in their coverage rates, but we didn't ask whether those groups were counted separately. If they are, that's great because they're in compliance with the National Quality Forum suggestion. But if they're not, then these hospitals are producing an inflated estimate of their coverage because they're counting people who've been assessed but not actually vaccinated. And finally, this was a cross-sectional survey, so we can't determine causality between the policies that were associated with measurement. So in conclusion, there's substantial variation in measurement, which highlights the need for a standardized measure. And now that we have the NQF measure, we need to evaluate the feasibility and utility of that measure in different types of healthcare facilities, see if it can be used and if it actually produces data that's useful for those facilities. We need to look at the impact of the Joint Commission standard. As I said, it does require the hospitals to measure staff coverage, but it only requires it among direct staff and independent practitioners, so it actually doesn't cover some of those other staff types that are also having exposure to patients, particularly students. And just to remind people that a successful coverage measure is going to be one that allows the facilities to identify their under-immunized HCP groups and target appropriate interventions. And not only being able to look at the staff groups, but actually being able to individually contact unvaccinated personnel may be the best way to do this. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan. Let's take a couple questions. Please come to the microphone if you have a question. Identify yourself and where you're from and ask your question. Any questions for Megan? Okay, I get to ask one. Megan, two questions. One is, tell us why you're so certain that the respondents versus the non-responding hospitals are similar. What did you compare them on, demographics or what?
That's a good question. The weighting that we did was based on the demographic variables from the American Hospital Association database, so they were weighted on the bed size of the hospital, the region, whether they were public, private, not-for-profit, whether they were a teaching hospital and urban, rural, or suburban location. So obviously there are some things missing from there, but we were fairly confident.
Mark Sawyer from San Diego. We've been trying to look into this situation in San Diego hospitals, and so I enjoyed your presentation. It's a steep hill we have to climb with these hospital assessments, so really I just have two comments to add. The vaccination outside of the facility provides a significant underestimate for most hospitals. We asked our employees how many were getting vaccines outside of the hospital, and with overall coverage rates in the 60 to 70% in San Diego, about 15% of the healthcare workers were getting their vaccines outside of the hospital. So that needs to be taken into account for these groups. But the more important comment is that the rigor of these assessments in the hospitals is highly variable, although they all say they measure them and track them. when we compared random digit dialing telephone survey numbers with the actual numbers the hospitals estimated, they were off, again, on the order of 15%. So I think this is a major issue, and I'm glad you're highlighting it, because we really need better measures in the hospitals to see how we're doing.
Thank you. And I think that's the great hope with the NQF measure, is that everyone will like it so much that they'll all measure in the exact same way.
Okay. Any other questions for Megan?
Is there any standard for the breakdown of the different groups in the hospital that's recommended? Because we have a rule for the hospitals that's just been implemented in our state, but they're still struggling over what definition, you know, to include for who should be included in the reporting, because they, of course, only want to do their staff, but then there are all these other groups that are admittedly harder to report as well. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, the National Quality Forum measure would be the same definition of healthcare personnel as the ACIP HCPAC, which is anybody in there that's having an exposure to your patients, whether or not they're on payroll, whether or not they're paid at all. But some data that we have that I didn't present actually asked about how easy is it for you to track these different groups. And as you mentioned, the people who are on payroll, it's the easiest to track them, and so they're the most likely to be measured. And the further away from being on payroll you get, the less likely they are. So it's definitely difficult to meet that standard.
Thank you very much, Megan.